Unpaved, Sean Salisbury here. We're bringing authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.
To me, Tom Brady is the GOAT because he's done more with less than any player at that position we've ever had.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Wednesday, December 17th. It's Unpaved. He is Sean Salisbury. I'm Adam Sager. Follow him at Sean Unfiltered, myself at Adam G. Sager on X. Go like and subscribe to the YouTube channel at Unpaved Sean Salisbury. Sean, we got a lot to get into today. We got quarterback changes. We got Heisman voters being mad at Diego Pavia. We got Michigan. Yes. We've
Should
got
be.
More Michigan call, stuff. Man. Your team is the Raiders I'm talking about are a mess. We'll get to that later. And then I have two videos from the last couple days that we're going to end the show with, plus our bet of the day that I just watched right before we went live. And one of them is just like, what the hell is going on? So we'll get to all that later. But how are we feeling today, Sean?
I'm doing good, man. I'm grateful to be here. A lot going on. This is the I Confess He Did It time of year with sports, college and pro.
Definitely.
It's the perfect time. This is the perfect time to grab the dollar and pass it to somebody else. So we'll get into that, I'm sure. And we start, I would imagine, with Tua at the top in that situation in Miami.
Yes, Tua Tagovailoa benched by Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins. Quinn Ewers, the rookie, will start. He has 8 career passes during his rookie season. It's just they put so much into Tua. And he's got so much guaranteed money next year. And his dead cap is even bigger than the guaranteed money that he has in 2026. But overall, just what's your take from Tua coming out of Alabama? You know, when he got pushed into the starting role there, made the big play in the national championship, then took over the next year, was really good there, picked, I think, 5th in the NFL draft by the Miami Dolphins, and now spent here. Got the big extension, but he's dealt with all the concussion stuff. He's had multiple concussions that have affected him in different ways. But what's your take on Tua the quarterback as we sit here in 2025? Do you think he can ever be a starter again in the NFL?
I do. I mean, hell, you want me to roll through some of these cats that are starters right. That were kicked to the curb and have found their way back? You never know. I can tell you one thing. There's a reason. First off, it takes a lot to get benched when you're making $50+ million a year. Two is, if they trusted Quinn Ewers enough now, by the result, you'd have made the decision earlier. Playoff hopes are over, so now's the time of year where you start to look at other options if the starter, that guy's not playing well. I get that as well. Tua's never going to wow you with physical presence. They knew that coming in. Everything has to be – now, this is speaking from a guy who getting benched – this is the I Confess He Did It time of year, like I said, past the buck time. This is the perfect time for you to say, well, it's got to be the quarterback. We always go that way. It's got to be the quarterback. Well, while the quarterback's not getting them to dubs as often as they want, they did go through a winning streak, so did he get credit for all those wins? No, they saw the loss, and it's time. People are crying about it. They knew when they drafted him, he was physically limited. If he doesn't throw on time, Tua's in trouble. The slant route, catch and get it. When he throws on time, he's going to get a lot of yards. He's an accurate thrower with the football. He's a pretty good decision maker when it's in rhythm and in scope of what you're trying to do right now. Off schedule, forget it. Go back to that college throw he made when he came in a game when he was a freshman. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Devontae Smith as a freshman well. They ran the whole shot, and he read the two deep safety, just so you understand, roll corner, two eye safety, help over the top. If the receiver takes an inside release and doesn't widen, that play's not possible. Outside release, up in the whole shot, your eyes, and he did a great job, eyes on the play side safety. He just held him. And then he put his foot in the ground without taking two hitches and ripped it on time, put in the hole, bam. That was the start of Tua's $55 million or $50 million career in first-round drafting. You drafted Tua as an undersized, under-athletic, under-strength of an arm. I mean, lack of strength in an arm. Not great straight lines. There's nothing he does that is, oh, my gosh, this is ridiculously talented. Mm-hmm. He is talented. He wouldn't be playing and wouldn't have made it. But for Tua to be successful, he's got to be in a system where the ball comes out, got good players around him, and it's on time. The second he has to hesitate, some of his stuff looks like Phillip Rivers at 44, where it's a little late. He can't take three hitches and throw a deep dig.
Right.
If it's under duress, he has to reset and go. Because Butch, he just doesn't have that physical prowess. Now, when you say that, people think, well, you think Tua sucks? No. If we're in rhythm and throwing the ball flat route, hitch route, curl route, dig route with one hitch on time with a deep end cut, then he's fine. He's got to throw with timing, rhythm, and anticipation. When he doesn't, or the pocket's disrupted, he'll get in trouble, especially when he throws like, how many times have you seen over his career, late deep ball over down the middle that looks like a punt at times? It's not in rhythm. He's not a great off-schedule player. I don't care if a statistic tells me, well, you push him to his left in the third quarter, he's 5 out of 8. Great. That's not how they win. When he's off schedule, they can't – they're not very good offensively. So he's not a guy like Josh Allen. You say, let's load up on Tua. We're going to go win. And we have – like if he was in New Orleans right now, they'd be in trouble. Or if he was with the Jets right now in that inclement weather, bad team, in trouble. Dolphins, it's a tweener. They've got speed. They've got good talent. They've got a good runner. They're committed to the run game, can run play action. They can get rhythm. They're just not real physical. They're just not that good. But he's got at least some skill position players that can catch and run. That's when he's at his best. Throw a slant, make it a 60-yard catch and run, bam. Off schedule, it's never going to work for him. He's not Josh Allen when they say, man, I need you to carry me for a month. That's not him. He needs great players around him to be successful. And when they're not great players around him, here's what happens. Some good, some bad. You beat some teams, you lose some. You get into cold weather, he's not very good. The Dolphins aren't very physical. You get beat in a game. What do? Immediately go to the guy who's a bigger body, stronger arm, although his mechanics aren't exactly perfect in Quinn Ewers, but drafted much later than he would have thought. Comes in. He's a three-quarter guy. He'll throw off schedule. Now, you know who can be late throwing the football because of his arm strength? Is this cat that's going to play. So you're going to get more off schedule. It's just that we got to see on schedule, quick and urgent, can he get the ball out, which I think he can. I think this is the time of year to do it. It just reeks of, I confess, he did it. You lost. Mike McDaniels, he's got plenty that he's got to answer to, as does this football team. But it's the first place everybody goes. Team struggles. You're not winning. Go to the quarterback. In New Orleans, Spencer Rattler was playing okay, but they weren't winning. Bad football team. Go to Tyler Shook. Look, every week the guy's getting better. They're not going to draft a quarterback if this continues in the first round. They haven't drafted one, I don't think, since Archie Manning anyway. So they went in the first round.
No,
so
they haven't. No,
right. It's been for 40 or 50 years, it feels like. So for me, I get the benching, but you have to do a lot to be making that kind of money and get sent to the bench. Sags, I'm just telling you, you do. Meaning, when I say do a lot or not do much at all to help your team win, and they're just floundering, it's a good time to find out who Ewers is. It just is. It's a good time to find out if he can rip it. You want off-schedule stuff pushed down the field. I'm not talking about with his scrambling ability. I'm talking about being able to be late and throw it into a window. He's got some of that ability. It'll get him into some trouble because he's got guts, but it'll all not going to move much, but neither did Tua. Tua's not a great movement guy. He doesn't. So nothing sticks out on the physicality part. On-time, accurate, and anticipations, Tua. So I get it. The Dolphins aren't very good. You got to look at your players and find out, do I think Tua starts again at some point? Yeah, of course I do. Do I think Super Bowl, that when you look at Super Bowl skill sets, if he's on a team that's good but not great, doesn't have great skill players around him, they'll never play in February. To look at Alabama. Every position had a first-round draft pick. Now, he was good because he got it out on time because he could. Five guys up front block. They were physical in the run game, knocking the piss out of you in the run game. Quick play action RPO, run a slant. Bam. Curl flat combination, bam. Seam routes thrown on time without a hitch, not late down the field, 18 to 22 yards in that window. Bam. Fine. Take a second hitch, throw the seam. Safety jumps at pick. Take a second hitch. Oh, scramble. No, guy, the 300-pound defensive lineman grabs your ankle from behind. That's who Tua is. Doesn't make him a bad guy, but the reality of it is, if you're looking for on schedule, on time with a good team, yes. If you're looking for a guy to carry you, it's not him. I understand the change. Now let's see if Quinn Ewers can do something pushing that ball vertically down the field at times off schedule or when he's got to take an extra hitch. This is a physically limited quarterback, meaning Tua, going to a physically gifted guy. We'll find out if some of his decisions in holding the ball too long that affected him at Texas will affect him at the next level.
Yeah, and I think this
meaning Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, I think this is easy to say that, I mean, if you're the Miami Dolphins, Tua will, I mean, now if Quinn gets hurt in one of these three games and he's the backup, maybe you bring him in, but I don't think he'll ever play in a Miami uniform again. And so my question to you is, and we kind of hit on this yesterday, but if you're Miami, knowing that it's $54 million guaranteed next year, but his dead cap is 99. And we've seen some teams start to just take a year and get rid of as much dead cap as physically possible and just kind of do a reset. So if you're the Dolphins, do you just eat the $99 million, cut him, let him go, do whatever? No one's going to trade for him with his contract. Let him go, eat it now, try and trade like Bradley Chubb, Jalen Waddle, A-Chain, I would try and trade him. He's going in the final year of his rookie contract. There's no point in keeping a running back on a team that isn't going to be competing for the next couple of years because we know how the running back works. You know, you don't want to give him a second contract, but he's playing on bad teams. That makes no sense. So try and get as much picks this year and future picks. Hell, I'd go more for future picks moving forward and just do a full reset of this roster, this organization. Like I said yesterday, I think Greer and McDaniel should be gone. You just completely rebuild your organization from whatever you feel is top. If it's director of player personnel, whoever that top guy is, all the way down through the head coach and the assistants and everything, and just start over.
A lot of that's going to depend on GM head coach coming in if there is a change, if there is.
Yeah.
At this stage, I'm sure Mike McDaniel and their front office has an idea of, ooh, we may have overpaid the position. Now, listen, when I see Tua body language, he seems like one of the nicest dudes in the world. He just does.
Mm-hmm.
He was raised in a tough environment by his pops. After Friday night games, he throws an interception. Wasn't he getting whipped by, didn't he get in trouble? Wasn't that a documented story, right? Yeah. So he understands that. But when I watch him, the question I have for the Miami Dolphins two leaders, and him and Mike McDaniel, this is from my optics. I may be 180 degrees different from it. It looks casual, like I said yesterday, to me. And I do believe you take on that personality. It kind of looks like, yeah, football's cool, but there's other things. Now, I may be way, but that's what I feel like. Now, with this change to yours, Segs, I coached him in the eighth grade, meaning trained him at a football camp. I was his quarterback coach at a camp with really good players in Dallas. They invited him to come up to me when I was coaching the high school guys. He was in the eighth grade, about 6'2", 2.5", 6'3". Sat back, had shorts with pockets in him, stood in the back, big, tall kid. Could dunk a basketball flat-footed in the ninth grade, all that stuff. He jumped in, and they told me to have an eye on it. I didn't know much about it other than what they told me at the camp. So he got into the normal rhythm throwing routes on air. And I know this goes back a while, and we've seen him through Texas, but just to give you an idea of what was different. Because in December, I also believe this change was made because Tua is not effective in cold weather or bad environments, meaning inclement weather, wind in your face. Ewers has got – his arm's not pop gun. Ewers can rip it. The first time I watched him throw, he dropped back. We threw a comeback on the outside from a further away hash. He threw a comeback to the far side of the field, eighth grader. Going into his ninth grade year, it was like the spring, summer of his eighth grade year. 20 back to 18, the ball sounded different coming out of his hand. There was a different whistle about it. Mm-hmm. Right there. It's okay. And then you watched him, and he was gunslinger, ball drop, you know, low ball holder at the time. Ball came out, South Lake Carroll kid, left school early, reclassified to leave as a junior and to go to Ohio State. We know all that. But even then, you could tell it was different. So this change to get a guy who in Pittsburgh, and I'm just saying anywhere they go, the weather's not going to bother him ripping it through there, which he's a much more physically right. gifted player, eye test wise, than Tua is. So, yeah, if I'm the Miami Dolphins, say he's got to look long, I'm going back. I don't know why in the NFL. I think it's pathetic. Unproven, kind of did a good – and I honestly could care less. Extensions of what you did in college doesn't mean shit to me. Mm-hmm. Your sophomore year to your third year in the NFL, that's 5 years. A lot happens, okay? I don't understand why we are so quick. Because most of these guys – outside the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, are replaceable. The guy behind him with the right opportunity may be just as good over the long term.
Right.
Why we're throwing $50 and $60 million contracts. I'm all for them getting paid. I'm not in their wallet. But guys who have not really taken the level to, oh, my gosh. See, to me, $60 million is reserved for the ultimate elite. If I said top 10 quarterbacks in the league, you're not putting Tua in it. Right. Unless no. everything's perfect, you're saying, oh, maybe throw slants and on time and everything's in rhythm and good players around him. But you're not. Why are we so in such a hurry? Afraid to lose him? I can tell you right now, Davis Mills can make the throws Tua can make and yeah. then some. The reason I say it, and that's not a knock on Tua, hell, go get all the money you can. I'm just flabbergasted at people. We give money away. We give $1 million away in the NFL like it's $10.
Right.
We just do. And no offense to Tua, you put up numbers. That's what I'm saying. Because it's you're afraid of losing the guy or letting him get bitter at you that you like got to pay him. Then you realize a year and a half later, hell, we didn't need to pay him that. You could have signed Tua for $40 million and been pretty damn secure. So it's not a knock on Tua. The guy's a good player. He's not a great player. You're not winning a Super Bowl if he's got to carry you. You're just not. And now that he's left the glove on the mound, he's opened up the can of worms for a guy to come in who we thought was going to be a first-round pick 2 years ago, who became a late pick, that you're really getting a ton of value for a guy. But don't do this. If all of a sudden he plays great in four games, say, let's go pay let's extend. I know he's a rookie, but in 2 years, yeah. let's extend Quinn Ewers to $70 million because he threw 25 touchdown passes in his second year of starting. So I just don't get it. But the Miami Dolphins aren't exactly brain surgeons when it comes to front office decisions. So we can do that well. And I am a guy who likes Tua. I always say this with quarterback play. When I'm spending that much money, I ask two questions. Do I love him or do I like him?
Right.
Just like when I go recruit five-star guys or if you're recruiting, do I love him or do I like him? If you like him, bang him. And I don't mean him. You get the point. That's your yeah. Shaq job, okay? If you like him, it's like a girl. Oh, you like him? You're single and you don't know what you're doing and you're on some swipe right thing? Is it swipe right or left, Sig? Whatever way it was.
No idea.
But you're at a dating site and it's a bang site. Oh, okay, great. Okay. If you like him. If you love him, what do you usually do? Protect him, be loyal to him, and marry him, right? If it's
right.
I'm not saying cheating. I'm saying if you're single and you're dating women, okay, great. You like them, you date them, and if you guys mutually agree that they little love making and move on, great. If you love them, sign them. If you love them, marry them. To me, when you go after a $55 million guy, you better love his ass. You better friggin' love him. If you're dating him, you should just milk the dating part of it and both of you move on. They committed enough money to love him. Now there's the problem. Because now it's $90 million. So it's more than 50% you're giving up in the marriage if you get rid of him. It's 50 plus 40. That's a lot of money in dead cap space. So point is, you got to love him. And what he's done now is he's opened a can of worms for them to love somebody else. Because right now, all they're doing is dating to it, even with all that money.
Yeah. And I think a big part of that, of what you're talking about, is paying these guys who probably haven't earned the $50+ million a year. But it's this new style in the NFL where coaches don't get, I mean, if you're not good in 3 years, you know, you're out the door. So a lot of these guys have to come in and basically take what's there and be like, yes, I can win with this guy and let's sign him. And you hope it works. And sometimes it doesn't. And it is, it's short-sighted by the organizations, but these GMs and coaches that come in, they don't get that 6, 7, 8 years, or a lot of them don't get that second quarterback to say, okay, I'm going to go draft a guy and not pay Tua. It's like, well, you came in, you coached Tua for 2 years. He didn't get any better. Why am I going to give you another quarterback? And I think that's just the different mentality, even from 15 years ago, where coaches and GMs would come in and they would basically get two regimes of quarterbacks. Now you don't get that. If you're bad, you're out. And that's why some guys are much more picky when it comes to taking head coaching jobs. Like Ben Johnson, remember 2 years of him being picky. And then he decided, okay, Caleb Williams, my guy. That's who I'm going to stake my claim to, and the Chicago Bears, and it's worked out for him. And yeah, Caleb's going to get paid in a couple of years because of that.
He is. And listen, when people say, well, Hurts got paid, well, Hurts has been to 2 Super Bowls. Big right. difference than Tua. And he's even reeling right now, and they're looking for some answers there. So with this, here's another thing that's another step to this. You know, with play callers, the head coaches, and if they're taking on the play calling and they're just scoring, everybody loves them. You know, exciting young guy, Mike McDaniel, making all these calls and doing it. But if I'm an owner or a GM and I say, man, we're thinking about signing this guy, who's the first guy you go to? The first 2 cats you go to when you're thinking about extending a guy and giving him big money. If I'm the owner, I know what I do. The GM's obvious there. I'm calling in my head coach and my coordinator slash or quarterback coach. And if one guy's doing both, then you call the quarterback coach. In NFL, the quarterback coach usually is the quarterback coach, and the coordinator is usually the coordinator, and the coach is usually the head coach. In Andy Reid's case, in some of the cases, they're both, right? So I call Mike in, and I say, Mike, what do you think about Tua? Love him. Should we pay him? Yeah, I've got to pay him. Well, he hadn't gotten us to the deep end of the playoffs, and we haven't won in December and January much, and we haven't got a Super Bowl. Pay him. This guy fits what I want to do well. Is it part of the coaching process also the evaluation of understanding how to evaluate talent so you know how to build the talent, make the player better? You should know every weakness and strength the guy has. So basically what Mike was saying in this evaluation is Tua is a $60 million guy, $55 million guy, $54 million guy. And in the process now of benching him, did he turn around now? Are we saying, oh, it's just a bad run? We want to see somebody else. You don't bench $54 million just because we want to rest our quarterback. You bench $54 million because you got a lot of questions. Well, who was the top evaluator of this guy?
Mike McDaniel.
The head coach. So we give all, once again, I'll go back. We give, it's whether it's Mike or me or you or anybody else, we give all these experts in front offices and assistant coaches, and some are really good. But we automatically think because they got signed to a contract that they're an incredible developer of talent. Tua hasn't gotten better since he's been in the league.
No.
And he's got some really good things, put up some numbers. But listen, if you're not throwing for 4,000 yards in this NFL in a full season, then I'll be honest with you. Then you might want to take 2 weeks off and go play in a different era. Because if you ain't pumping out 4,000 yards, throwing the ball 30 times a game, then you're just a guy. And just guys are throwing for 3,800, 3,925 touchdowns. Just guys are doing that. Fall out of bed and doing that now. That's what they're doing. So, and Tua will put up numbers, but we got to look deeper than just the numbers. We got to look at how the depth of the numbers, when they happen, all they happen. Tua's a good player. Tua's not a franchise quarterback. No. We'll see if Quinn Ewers is, but we give all these guys because they're – just because they're a pro, meaning a pro coach, a pro evaluator, a pro offensive coordinator in professional sports, do we automatically think they're professional all they do? I've been around plenty of guys that are coaching NFL football and college football that couldn't evaluate talent if it jumped out of their ass and hit them in the face. Yet, they know how to coach a curl route and a dig route or a wide receiver coming out of his break. But to be able to see the long term of a guy instead of the short-sighted stuff. Franchise quarterbacks are telling me I'm drafting you to be here 10 to a dozen years. I ain't paying a guy $55 million based on a small body of work. Right. So you tell me what says $55 million in Miami. So I benched him. But the accountability's got to also go to those evaluators that are coaching him every day that say, Go pay this guy. Don't they have to take? It's just like an athletic director in college. You hire two head coaches, pay them $100 million, and fire them. You probably got to get on the way out the door at the same time because they are tied to you, just like a quarterback and a head coach.
Yeah, and that's why I think that Greer and McDaniel have to be out at the end of this season, and you got to try and rebuild that whole organization from the top down. Moving on to the Diego Pavia, we talked about what he said, you know, when he said, fuck all the voters, paid for the sign when he's out partying that, you know, he flipped off that said, fuck Indiana and all this stuff. Well, Mark Ingram, who's a Heisman voter, who won the Heisman during his time at Alabama as a running back, he had something to say about it. We have the video. So let's go ahead and talk about or show what Mark Ingram had to say about Diego Pavia.
Voters is crazy when 186 people had you for 189 people had you first on the ballot. So maybe you should have said F 643 voters.
And I was one of them.
I was one of them too.
So he F'd you guys. He F'd you guys.
Yeah, he F'd me, and that's fine. Wow. That's wow. Fine because guess what? My trophy's sitting right there.
Oh my God.
I don't give a damn who you F.
How's that for a mic drop?
When you could just show your own Heisman trophy sitting just to your left, what looked like about 2 feet away. I mean, that's, again, we talked about how this made Diego Pavia look really, really bad. And people are upset and rightfully so. So, I mean, again, I think that we're not going to hear much from Diego Pavia again. Like, he's going to move on. He's going to be somewhere, maybe get a shot in the NFL if he doesn't make a team, maybe be on a practice squad, or he could end up in the CFL or USFL or whichever one they're playing in the spring now. That's where I think he's going to be, and we won't hear much from him anymore.
Let me explain. We can sit back here and say the dude has been phenomenal for Vanderbilt, and he has.
Great season. That's why he finished second.
He's tough, and they talk about taking on the personality of your player. They elevated their play. Mm-hmm. 100%. He helped get a coach a nice pay raise and extension. It was a part of it. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Just like the coach, you know, program gave him a chance. Here's what it comes down to. You can be a really good player and a guy we like and still make an asshole comment that you should be criticized on. I'd mentioned the Manziel situation yesterday. Mm-hmm. It feels like Johnny's matured and stuff at the time. And I, you know, what he went through admitting he didn't do a playbook and didn't study all that stuff. This just reeks of it. Mark Ingram's 100% right. Mine's right over there. This was so the comment, whether he feels like that or not, the comment. Of course he apologized the next day because he saw the backlash.
Yeah.
He saw if nobody would have said anything, said, yeah, I'm with you, brother. You should have won. Listen, Mendoza, while you could have voted for Pavia, there should be nobody that complains that Fernando Mendoza won it. Okay. Now I understand you want, but F the voters. So I imagine he's going to take all those guys with his NIL money that did vote for him out to dinner, right?
Right.
My whole thing is, why in the world would you? See, this reeks of spoiled.
Yes.
In this situation, spoiled, ingrate, that didn't get what he wanted, so made sure everybody, you didn't vote for me, so fuck you. You know, you don't deserve my respect. Are the same people that have kissed his ass and told him how great he was all friggin' year. Yep. You can be great and finish second. You can have a Heisman Trophy year and finish second. It's just that the guy they voted for was a bit better. And Mendoza is a better player than Pavia is. Pavia is a damn good grinder and quarterback. I'd love him on my team. This, to me, simply reeks of getting caught up in the moment with your buddies. Maybe something else. I don't even know if the guy drinks. But around and you get caught up in the moment, I F the voters. And even if you're joking, joke with your buddies. Don't post because it ain't ever going away. Ingram's right. They're all right. To me, it just reeks of... Snot, I'll tell you what, all the love he had, if you were somebody that wanted to hire him as a speaker or an endorser right now about a guy who's going to continue his grind, try to be a free agent on a football team in the NFL and go play and grind and wanted to rally behind him, you're probably going to think twice because this is – you may not like the vote, but you were sitting in New York because there are some that thought some other players could have been in New York.
Right.
So with that in mind, it's as much as I like Pavi, and I've admired him all year long. I'm compartmentalizing on this. You sound like a spoiled, snotty-nosed kid who couldn't handle adversity when it came to the decision, yet he's proven all year he knows how to thrive in adversity. This is caught up in the social media movement of, let me say something and see how it hits. It didn't hit right. He turned around and said, I love all the voters. Bullshit. You don't love all the voters. You can't stand the ones that right. just okey-doked you, or you thought they okey-doked you because they voted for another guy. Hence, it's their right because they got a vote.
Yeah.
And if I had a vote, he'd have been the second pick. Fernando Mendoza would have got my vote as well. Not that he cares. I like him. I don't hate him. This situation, just I'm trying to go through players and think, well, why didn't I? Who finished second last year, Sags? Who was the runner-up last year? I can't even remember.
Look, yeah, I can't remember. Who was it?
Who was it? Whoever it was, I don't think they said this. I don't believe they said this. So he can go about his business any way he wants, but it almost looked like he's trying to be that guy. And just a couple of days ago, I heard him on, not the custom mix thing, preaching about the gospel and his Christianity. And he was saved, that he's in an interview. I saw that. And it turned around, not the cussing. I mean, we always, I cuss and I go to church. I'm not saying that. But perception of, oh, man, he would have handled this humbly like he has everything else.
It was
But Jane. He didn't handle the situation right. Wait, who was it?
Ashton Janty.
Yeah, there you go.
And Travis Hunter won. Say?
Well, yeah, that's right. What did you, and you listen, Jinty had a bigger argument than Pavia does.
Yes.
And you didn't hear one thing come out of the guy's mouth. We just have selective criticism. Pavia made a mistake. And then he had to backtrack and try to go fix it. And some are going to say, screw you, but he's out of college anyway, so nobody cares.
Yeah.
Hell of a career. Love the guy's performance. I thought it was weak that he did this. We all say stupid stuff. But when it comes to the Heisman, that's a little bit of a sacred ground. You got beat. Just take the high road like all the other guys who finished second that could have won as well. Yeah. It was just dumb. And now he's got to scramble around apologizing. Which one do you take more serious? F the voters or the apology? Which one do you think he got more? Yeah, it's a voters. When adversity hits or when we're disagree with something, the first thing we do, usually it's like this, Eggs, my personality, when I try to say, oh, I'm calm on the golf course, I snap hook three drives in a row. I'm pissed and dropping F-bombs. Yeah. I'm thinking about snapping a club, which I have.
Right.
And then, or is it the guy who three holes later makes three birdies and I'm happy? Dude, I'm one of those guys, I make a birdie, I'm still pissed because I didn't make it like an idiot. And I'm not good enough to be pissed. My point is, he's a good player. He just overloaded his mouth with his ass. And then you try to scramble. We've all done it. He just happened to do it on a huge stage when everybody, he went in as the most beloved guy on there.
Yeah.
People just voted for the guy who was better. Period. That's the way it is.
Period. Moving on to a guy who, we talk about Pavia not knowing how to react. A guy who knows how to react and talk to the media. And he's doing a great job of just hitting both sides perfectly. And we've talked about this, but there's a new quote from Kenny Dillingham yesterday, asked about the Michigan job, because those Arizona State fans, media, they want him to put this to bed. They want him to say, I'm not leaving, and he won't give it to him. Here's what Kenny Dillingham had to say yesterday.
My job is to try to do whatever I can for the people that are with me, right? The people that are in the foxhole, the coaches that are in the foxhole with me, is I got to do whatever I can to fight for those people, for my family, for everything from that perspective. And and I love it here. I've said that since day one. That's absolutely never changing. Absolutely never changing. That piece is never changing.
I mean, I don't know how anybody can listen to that and not, if you're an Arizona State fan, and not be worried as hell that he's leaving for Michigan at some point, unless Arizona State comes in and offers him to a massive contract, a massive raise in his assistant pool, and a ton of NIL money, because that guy right there is not telling you that he's staying at Arizona State. He is not saying it. You've given him multiple opportunities, and I think he is torn, because that's his alma mater. He loves it there. He was talking the other day about living next to his sister with his parents across the street and all this stuff, and he loves being in that area. But
who doesn't? Who doesn't like Scottsdale? Tempe.
Yes. This is also the guy who lost Jaden Daniels to LSU after he developed him. is losing Sam Levitt after he developed him to a bigger program on Michigan's level, probably somewhere, if it's LSU, wherever he ends up. Dillingham can go to Michigan and keep those players and get good ones the next cycle of the transfer portal and be a top 10 recruiting class every single year. So ASU fans can say all they want. What he's telling you right here is ASU's got to come up with a lot more money and make it a lot sweeter here for me to stay, or I'm going to Michigan.
I'm more convinced that Kenny Dillingham's not all in than I am he is at Arizona State. Now, if I was an athletic director looking for a coach, I'm interviewing the guy. I love his approach. He's done great things at Arizona State. Listen, going in, if you'd have made a bet Arizona State was going to make the playoff before last year, you'd have made a lot of money. I don't know what the odds were going in, but I'll guarantee you they didn't have him in a playoff. Okay, I'm just going to tell you that. A good team, but you didn't expect them to elevate to that point. I didn't. Hell, they took Arizona State took Texas to the brink, didn't they, Seg? I mean, they played them pretty damn good in the game, right?
Yep.
Okay, listen, man. If you're a fan or an alumni or you're an administrator or you're a student there, these two conversations we've played these last couple of days, these press conferences, ought to tell you that that door is still open, not closed. Because the one way you close it, the only thing missing is for him to say, this is my dream job at Arizona State, and then leave the next day. We hear that from coaches in the past. And I think Kenny is. I think he's all in for this bowl game? And of course I do. I do while he's coaching him. He is. But when he said that, the answer, he's beating around the bush on the answer that we're looking for one thing to say if you really want to tell me you're all in. I am not going to Michigan. I called them and said, thank you very much. Respect the program. I'm Arizona State. If he wasn't an alumni, Kenny Dillingham would already be gone if they offered him the job, in my opinion. My opinion. And I wouldn't blame him. It's friggin' Michigan. You're going in. Now, listen, there's a lot of baggage there, but that baggage can get fixed. It's not his baggage. Now, he may have to repair some of the baggage of the PR thing, but Kenny Dillingham ain't Sherrone Moore right now, and Sherrone Moore wasn't Jim Harbaugh, and Harbaugh wasn't Bo Schembechler. Okay, so whatever goes on, Michigan, would we understand why you'd listen? Yeah, I get why you listen. You're driving a good vehicle now. It's really nice, but you love speed and Ferrari. You just never have the money to pay for it. And then the Ferrari says, hey, you can have this, and we'll give you four more. You're like, well, of course I'm listening. But have you yet to hear him say, he tells you how much he loves Arizona State? Yes. How much he respects Michigan? And thank you. I got to coach the guys that I'm with here now. So when this game ends, his bowl game, then what?
Right.
He doesn't have to coach those guys that well. He's got to re-recruit them. So if he wanted to end this, so we're not continuing to talk about it, just tell us, I refuse to leave Arizona State right now. This is my place. And if it means getting a 5 more or 6 other year extension, maybe that's part of this plan too. I get why he wants to stay. But he has told me nothing yet that tells me he is not still open. Without even kicking, you don't have to kick the door. You know how you pull a door, but it's not quite shut, Sage. All you got to do is put a finger on it, it'll open. Right. I think that's where he's at. And I don't blame him for listening. He's trying to say all the right things. He's young and he's still learning it. But Kenny Dillingham, I don't believe, has put his foot on the Michigan throat and said, not literally, but figuratively, and said, I'm not leaving Arizona State. Because I'm going to tell you, Sage, jobs like this do not come up many times in your career. Now, the Lane Kiffins of the world get 5 opportunities like this. Maybe Kenny will too, but they just don't. So would I get it? Yes. And ASU ain't paying him the money Michigan is, because Michigan said they'll go deep. If he's their number one choice and he wants to go there, I don't see how Arizona State, unless Kenny, then we'll know. But if that's the case, then tell us there's no amount of money on this, at least in this cycle. This year, there's no amount of money, no amount of prospects, no amount of convincing you can do to get me to leave my place where I went to school and I love this place. And we're going to build it. We're going to try to continue to do what we're doing, build on what we have these last couple of years. And thank you, Michigan. I appreciate the offer. I'm just not doing it. I'm taking my name off the record. Then if he were to go there, we'd all look at him like he was a fraud. Right now, he's saying all the right things. But Michigan's job, in my opinion, from my ears, there's not anything he said to squelch the fact that Michigan's still in play. And if Arizona State doesn't know that, then Arizona State's on crack. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it's yeah, he's just doing nothing to squelch the rumors.
No, and I get it, but you can't pee in our face and tell us it's raining. He that's alive and well, just yeah, so you know.
His Devils play the Duke Blue Devils December 31st. So we're still 2 weeks away from that game. So if it's he's wanting to coach that game or whatever, I mean, I don't know if Michigan's willing to wait two more weeks. I don't know if they have a little backdoor deal like, hey, you just stay, coach your bowl game.
We'll announce come it right when away the game's the next over.
Day. Yes, as soon as the
out of game's respect over, to you and your kids in Arizona State.
Boom, right? here's the deal. We're done. Transfer portal opens 2 days later, and then boom, let's go. You know, right?
I will
right
tell as you this, hits,
let's go. I'm not sure.
If this what's the date of their game? What's the exact date of their game?
December 31st.
The 31st. Okay, you said that. I'm just making sure. Okay, so on New Year's Eve, if the Michigan Wolverines do not have a coach by New Year's Eve, you can start to put the pieces together in that final puzzle. That there, and it may be somebody else who played that time, but it's a coach who's coaching right now. Somebody else. That the longer this goes, it'll tell you it's whether it's DeBoer. Because if you want Kyle Whittingham, I'm gonna send him a text today. If you want Kyle Whittingham, you don't have to wait. Go sign him. And if Kyle wants to take it, you're not competing against anybody. You just got a guy that you can go get.
Right.
But if it's a Dillingham or it was DeBoer or it's somebody who's still in a bowl game or a playoff, the longer this goes, you'll know that's the case, which I imagine it probably is if it's not Kyle Whittingham. So with that in mind, Kenny's not saying anything to deter Michigan. And he's trying to keep Arizona State alive. And I love if they do and he leaves at the end of the 31st, we do got to give both sides credit for not blowing it for the kids that are already at Arizona State.
Yeah.
That was so, but there is nothing that's told me that window's closed if, in fact, Michigan. But if they're not engaged with you or your agent, then why wouldn't you say, why am I talking about Michigan?
Right.
Nobody from Michigan's contacted me or my agent or anything. Why? And put it out there. Why wouldn't you just say, you guys got me going to a gig that they're not even interested in me. I've not heard a word from anybody, and neither has my agent. Then we'll say, oh, okay, good. Then he's Arizona State guy. Have you heard that come out of his mouth yet?
No.
Okay. Well, then that tells me that somehow, some way, they're either not contacting anybody or there's a group of them they're contacting, and there's a respect factor, which the way we should always do it for the current kids at Arizona State. But if Michigan wants somebody for their recruiting purposes and it's not a current coach that's coaching and you want Kyle Whittingham, I suggest you get on it. Now that you've the Sherrone Moore thing, I told you, Sags, don't do it 2 days after with a new coach. Let this thing sit for a minute so you understand the remorse that's going on. Then go get yourself a guy. Yeah, maybe they haven't decided on which guy it is.
It does feel like they're waiting on someone else. Jed Fish and Washington have played their bowl game against Boise, I think it was. And he's come out and said after.
Convincing win, too.
Yeah, he's just focused on his team. And I think if that were going to be the hire, like you said, okay, bowl game's over. Now you get it done. So it seems like either Jed's clearly not their first choice, because I think Jed would take the job if he was offered. He probably hasn't been offered yet, but he still could be kind of on the back burner as a guy maybe they turn to.
And they may be trying to disassociate themselves with anybody who was under the suspension.
Yeah.
National championship, we got that. The Sherrone, anybody who was in that window of time, six, seven years, like, and Coach Fish was with Jim. Regardless, maybe you're just looking for a completely fresh new start so Fish doesn't become your first, opportunity. Because right now, why wouldn't you? With the next signing date and the transfer portal, this is probably a time you'd say, if you knew the guy you wanted, you'd go get him, right?
Yeah.
So the longer this goes, the longer it tells me that coach hasn't played a game yet that he needs to play.
Yeah. Biff Poggi, who's the interim head coach at Michigan, spoke out and talked about just what the players are going through and what the team is like right now. So let's play that video on what Biff Poggi has said.
It has been a tumultuous time, and a lot of, anger, and then, first disbelief, then anger, then really what we're in right now is the phase of, the kids, quite frankly, feel very betrayed, and we're trying to work through that. met individually with all the players multiple times, and with the parents, Zoomed with the parents multiple times. And the message has been listening, right? I want to listen to them. I want to understand what the kids are feeling and what their parents are feeling. And so a lot of listening. And there's been a wide range of emotions, as you can imagine. And we've kind of are going through those steps. They're not over yet. And I don't expect them to be over for a while.
Thanks. So,
go ahead.
I know, rhetorical. What position does he coach? I know the answer.
He's just a coach. You just want that guy around, period.
Right. But I'm saying, what's his normal, before he took over the interim head coach job, what position on Michigan does he coach?
Look,
hit that Google machine. What I'm about to tell you is, go ahead, just for about, it's for a laugh and a smile, Sigs, because I made sure, check it out. What's his position? Because you'll get a kick out of this too.
Trying to see.
His position, the position he coaches when he's not the interim head coach. My point is, you're looking it up.
Yeah.
Is whether it's
the associate head coach.
Okay. They didn't even put it.
His title.
His title now. We'll look at it. Point is, Sam Pittman is Biff. Is John Teerlink, God rest his soul. Yeah. If that guy's not a football man, I don't know who is. Think about, Sags, who was your head coach before he went to San Diego, from San Diego State? Who was your head coach? Wasn't he a Michigan head coach? Coach of San Diego State. I'm a great man. Bigger guy.
Yeah.
He left, didn't have the success they wanted at Michigan. He was in that, like, pre or post Rich Rod. It was in that area, right? And I'm forgetting his name. But the reason why I say that.
Tip my tongue.
Yeah, and he was really good at San Diego State, too. But what I'm saying is, like, offensive and defensive line-looking coaches always look like football coaches. Have you ever known? I've ever been on, whether it's Coach – Pat Morris, who coached our offensive line, Hudson Hauk at USC,
Brady Hoke.
There you go, Brady Hoke. Another one. Isn't Brady Hoke Biff, who's Sam Pittman,
yes.
Who's exactly. And they just, the former Raiders was there for a year, coached the line, not Callahan, coached the line for one year, was there long time steady coach that everybody loved, could recruit, people loved it. It was free. Hardcore guy. And he's my era, and I'm losing my mind. But the Mike Tices of the world, they all have the same demeanor and approach. Now, you think Biff gets after it on the field when shit goes down? Yeah, I bet you.
Oh, yeah.
You want him on your team in an alley fight. That's my point. It's just, and I got off the beaten path, but I'm like,
Tom Cable feels. Is that who you're thinking
there
of?
You go, Tom Cable, another great one. Offensive line guy, get in your face. Loves the players more than he loves any, more than he loves cashing a check. And you know it. Yep. This guy is one of those lifetime coaches. He's been around. He knows football. But just the way they handle it, because I know this about line coaches where I've been. Defensive line, offensive line. You know the one thing they always have in common? Betrayal hits them hard. Now, I know it hits a lot of people hard. Some of Jeff Moore. But they take it personal. Now, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? The feeling, they take it personal. Because they almost feel like they're an extension of their kids, meaning their players, which they are.
Right.
He's right. You go through all the emotions, and Michigan's going through it now, and he's trying to do everything he can to soft cushion it and to take a lot of it on himself when he's not responsible for any of what went on with the former head coach.
Yeah, he's a guy that I don't care which coach, if it's Dillingham, DeBoer, I don't care which, Urban Meyer, I don't care who it is, comes to Michigan, that's the guy you want to keep around, because he's
one of those guys that stays there forever through five coaches, because they all want him there. To it would be like a Coach Orgeron if he had never went on to be a head coach. Put Ed Orgeron in the same category.
I was
football guy, loves the kids, gets after it, will put his hand in the dirt, and while they'll try to have an offensive lineman block him on the practice field while he's the head coach. But for instance, at SC, if Orgeron said, I don't want to be a head coach, I love this job. He's the guy who'd be your defensive line coach and coaching defense for and recruiting coordinator for 40 years.
Yeah.
Those guys are fiercely loyal to their players. And so they feel all that emotion. You could sell Biff does as well.
Yeah. He left for 2 years, went to Charlotte to be the head coach, and it didn't work out there. And it was like the second he was fired, it was like 2 minutes later, there was a tweet like, yep, he's going back to Michigan to Jim Harbaugh because Harbaugh just wanted him. And
they dabble in it, Tiggs. They dabble in it. It doesn't work out for a couple of years. They go back to who they really are. And that's, they love that being able to be around shoulder to shoulder with the players as position coaches every day.
Are you surprised that the young lady that had the affair, the inappropriate relationship with Sherrone Moore is still hired or still employed at the University of Michigan? Are you surprised by that? Or are you just like, this is normally how it works?
I'm not, because the process they're going through now, I would imagine, Sags, is the what they got to get down. I don't know how long it'll last or if she even wants to. Who knows?
Yeah.
My gut is, and I'm not any a lawyer or an attorney. I mean, I've looked at this stuff before, but in past and going through it, what happens is when a female is dealing with a male subordinate, I'm just coming from perception-wise, that you have to go through the steps, in my mind, and I would imagine, I don't know if it's legalese, but maybe you have to, of finding out if she was pressured, that is she going to lose her job if she doesn't, you know what I'm saying? That feeling of, I don't know if it's the case, but I would imagine the reason she hasn't, because if you're with a subordinate, the first thing you want to know is, were you pressured into dating him or sleeping with him or whatever it was, and you were told to keep things quiet, and you say, well, if I'm going to, and if you don't, you're going to lose your job. Well, all this has got to come into play because you got to protect it because it is her subordinate. And so with that, and now we already know what happens when you're the subordinate messing with somebody else, you're gone.
Yeah.
So as the subordinate, and it's a female dealing, I would imagine that you have to make sure in her case that if she was pressured into it or was threatened that you're going to lose this if you don't do this, that, because if you do it and fire her without it and she felt pressure, guess what she does? She owns half the Michigan football office. If she wants to turn around and say, how can you do this? I had no choice.
Right.
That's why you got to protect first and then expand your investigation or whatever it is. I think that's a big reason why. And she may get to the point where she says, I don't want to be affiliated with this because, or she feels like she didn't do anything wrong and they're there and the Michigan's saying, no, she's a good worker. It was just a bad situation and she was pressured. Whether you think that's a fair or not, that's the world we live in, brother. And if she was pressured, she deserves, if she was or felt it was a subordinate and didn't know what she was going to do or how she should handle it, I would imagine she'd do it different in this case, knowing all how this this has come out. But on the other side of it, it's important that we look in to say, okay, was there pressure from a subordinate? That's huge in the corporate world.
Right.
Because if you put a young lady in a position where she has to make one decision and neither one of them are good, I got to either lie on one end or not say anything on one end or get involved in it on the other end. And then you see the result of that. I think, and if it's a pressure situation, you have to do your due diligence before you get rid of somebody, unless you want to be Michigan and face a bigger lawsuit, which you will, if that's the case.
Yeah. Not to just make you pissed off or anything, but let's real quick talk about your Raiders. They're 2-12. Arguably the worst team in the league. And Pete Carroll had something to say after their, 31-0 loss to the Eagles this past Sunday. Go ahead and roll Pete Carroll.
You told us and talked about the preseason, how you expected this team to be competitive and to be one that would fight. And I'm not saying they've quit, but with two wins.
Oh, these guys fought their ass off. Hold on. Let me address that because you brought it up. They fought their ass off. That was the result. They didn't stop fighting. That was the result of our play right there. And I have a lot of respect for the roster we just played against. And maybe they didn't look like it in the last couple of weeks or whatever, but they played like they're capable, and we couldn't stop them. And so that's what I saw.
Reiterating what I said, I'm not saying they've quit. I'm asking you, what with this team where they are right now, what do you think that is going on, because you didn't think this is where they would be?
Well, I would never think we would. I have no, what would I base that thought on, that we would be really fighting for our life here? I have nothing but but wins and background and history and all of that to set our expectations and to maintain the standards that we work by. And that's what we're doing. We're still doing it. We're still practicing hard. We're still working hard. We're still studying hard. The guys are giving good effort. They're in the weight room. They're fighting their tails off. The only good thing that happened is we didn't get anybody hurt today, you know. But they're doing all we're asking them, and this is the result of it against the world champs last year, who maybe weren't playing quite like that for a month here or whatever, but they look like it today. They look like a great team today.
Sean, I don't care who you are in the NFL. These Raiders ran plays 42 times, 42 plays. They had 75 yards of total offense. 75.
This is an absolute putrid throw up in your mouth watch. And this is coming from a lifelong silver and black Raider fan. Listen, Pete won't get fired right now. They'll give him another year because, quite frankly, he's got enough skin in the game to know that he's been able to turn stuff around. So,
right.
And I agree with that. And the Raiders don't need that another guy and another guy getting fired. At least a chance. They've made some poor personnel decisions, and some of it's still there, meaning players, and some of it they got to fix. Pete's enthusiasm is always going to be there. The game hasn't passed him by. Is it tougher to be out of it and come back at times? Sure. And he doesn't look like a guy who's in his 70s coaching.
Right.
The guy's got great energy, some better than 30-year-olds. But let's look at the brass tacks of this, man. I think they're the worst team in football. I do. From a day-to-day basis, they got some good players, Max Crosby and Genty, and I think from performance and consistency and just watching them, the New Orleans Saints and the Jets can play with these guys anytime you want them to.
Oh, yeah.
When I watch them, and maybe I watch them closer and different because I am a Raider fan and I'm waiting, they're awful. Their execution is embarrassing.
That's the way to put it.
They do not. If you had to say, okay, let's put one historic franchise on the back burner and say, man, you guys take 2 years off. You need it. Them. They're there. And I know people in there saying, well, what about our Dolphins or our Cleveland Browns or our New York Jets? I get it. And I'm a little more emotional about it because it's the Raiders. But I can tell you this. The second a head coach starts his talk, and God bless you, Pete, a lot of them do it, with we're playing hard, that tells you they're shitty. Because that's the crutch to lean on when you know your team sucks, and he knows his team. Doesn't mean he doesn't like the players. Doesn't mean he doesn't have individuals that are good. The overall sum of this group, not the parts, the sum, is I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know. Look at the left column on your screen. That's all you need to know. That's Pop Warner shit playing against NFL people. It's amateur hour. It's a Saturday Night Live skit. It's a should we show up? But just play hard. Whenever you're complimenting $10 million, $12 million, $500,000 of your players, whatever they're making, that they play hard, that's when you know good teams don't start off. I'm talking about consistently good teams that win a lot. Maybe one time you'll hear a winning coach or a team that's 10-3 say it. Coaches on teams that are good or great year in and year out don't step up and say we're playing hard. Now, if they look at a player in a play, they say, that player was lazy. Then you defend and say, he plays hard every day. I watch him on Friday.
Right.
But when you describe your team as we played hard, that's the perfect way of saying the girl that is ugly as make a skunk's butt pucker has got a great personality. Or the dude that's the dude is got a great personality, even though he might be 1,200 pounds. The reason I say 1,200 is not many people get to that. You get my point, Sex. That's the initial – I'm leading you in to cover all the other crap. We're at least playing hard. Well, it's December. You get paid. You got a job to do.
Yeah.
You don't get credit for playing hard. Sorry, you just don't on any team. So that's when you knew right off in that this team, that he knows this team is toast and they're bad. Yeah. We play our asses off. We just don't play very good.
Okay? Real
quick. I could find 12-year-olds to do that.
Yeah. Real quick. As a Raiders fan, let's say they're 2-12, currently sit in the number 2 spot in the NFL draft. Let's say they jump. Let's say the Giants win one of their last 3 and the Raiders lose out and they get the number 1 pick. Are you taking Fernando Mendoza, Dante Moore, whoever your quarterback 1 is, or Are you looking for a team maybe around the 5-6 spot? And I don't know who, you know, I can pull up. Let's just say Arizona wants, or the Jets. The Jets are sitting at 5. We need a quarterback, they think. We want to trade up. Are you taking the first quarterback in the draft? Let's say Mendoza, who just won the Heisman. Or are you taking the Hall of Picks and kind of rebuilding for a year and saying, okay, we get a first this year, we get a second this year, we get a first next year, and a second next year. Let's just say those four picks for number one. Are you taking the Hall or are you taking the quarterback? What are you doing?
Well, first off, and just a racketeer, calm down. His old ass needs to retire. He'll be retiring soon. Talking about Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll. Listen, if they fire him, okay. But I'm going to give Pete one more year like I'd like to do to most coaches when they've struggled their first year, like I do for Aaron Glenn. Like I, unless it's you've completely lost the team. Pete Carroll hasn't lost the guy's belief. So I don't need to calm down because I'm talking about the Raiders. You need to calm the fuck down because he'll retire when his old ass is fired, okay? If that's what you want to call it. But I imagine he's got more energy than me and you and racketeer 480, 48, 12 combined. So, but you got to get results or you will be fired. Here's what I'm doing with the Raiders, Sakes. Great quarterbacks on shitty teams become average quarterbacks. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Maybe not their numbers, but good quarterbacks on great teams win Super Bowls. I can go through that list if you want. Now, Aikman, great player with a bunch of great players. They win more than one.
Right.
Tom Brady, great coach, phenomenal roster, even though you may not have had Moss at a time, Gronk, but you may not have had certain rosters. But Peyton Manning, hell of a player, hell of a coach, hell of a football team. You win multiple times. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you a good Archie Manning, great quarterback, bad teams. You have a good career. You don't win a Super Bowl and you get your ass handed to you. And we all credit you for being able to withstand the ants.
Right.
Okay. So, to answer your question, as much as I like Mendoza, I'm going to scour first off, Sakes, because I do think that they still need to look outside that box and decide if they really want to push forward and Geno Smith's a backup now or a starter. I got to first off, between now and then, find in the free agency world, if one of these quarterbacks, and I'm not talking about Russ Wilson right now,
right,
there's a quarterback that somebody's willing to part with that – maybe a player, and I don't think Kenny Pickett's your long-time term starter. I don't think Geno Smith is the way they're playing. I'm going to scour it first, Segs, because I prefer, even with a good quarterback or a really good quarterback or a great one, you're going to need more players around him to get to maximize his ability and take it to another level. Josh Allen on the Raiders right now, the Raiders are not making the playoffs this year.
Right.
Or next year, unless they get a haul. So what you're going to have to do is probably part with one of your good players like Max Crosby and get four more. And then you're going to be picking in the draft and maybe trade a few other players. You're going to have to start from the bottom. So for me, the first pick in the draft, if they had the first pick there, I would not take Mendoza because I don't know if Mendoza can thrive on a team that's not any good.
Right.
We've seen the movie and maybe he can. It's the rare guy who takes bad average players and turns them into special. It's the normal guy who's got good players and plays better and the great one who does that. But you want to build – you got to get players. The Philadelphia Eagles, as good as Jalen Hurts was in the Super Bowl, if they don't have good players around him, he ain't getting them to the Super Bowl.
Right.
He's not. Hell, look, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have had some good players around him. As good as they are, they have not played in February.
Right.
So to answer your question – no, a quarterback alone first. If his name's not John Elway or a Peyton Manning at the top right now that you say I'm with him for 12 years, no matter what kind of roster we got, fine. Or Dan Marino. On this roster, there's no quarterback in this draft that turns a crappy roster into a Super Bowl team right now, and the Raiders have a crappy team.
Build the roster, then get the quarterback. And
absolutely.
If you do draft a rookie, then you have that rookie contract to help strengthen the roster even more because he doesn't cost all the money early on in his career.
Great quarterback, average players, you'll win some, you'll lose some. Great players, decent quarterback who protects the ball and is smart, you got a better chance to get to February than the guy who's a great quarterback with bad players does.
All right. Now that we got you all mad about your Raiders and, you know, just how crappy they are, let's have some fun. I got a couple of videos here. Let's start last night.
I have fun even when I'm angry, dude. I mean, when I'm mad at my Raiders, I'm having fun.
If you didn't know, the New York Knicks won the NBA Cup. I think that's what it's called. I'm not even sure. The Cup.
I didn't know.
The middle of the season tournament. They beat, I believe it was the Spurs. But this is when they're getting their trophy after winning the Cup. And just watch Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson right in the front. And watch what Josh Hart does. He's right there with his arm around in the front. And you see Jalen Brunson. Now you might have to... Oh, now,
did he try to stick a thumb up his cutter?
Yeah. Now, like, why? What makes you think in that moment to do that?
Is it Josh Hart on the Tommy John underwear commercials? Don't I see him? Isn't that who it is? If he's dead, the Tommy John boxer brief commercial.
No,
I think you see him. It's a Christmas commercial. I think it's him. I may be wrong, and that's fine, but underwear, maybe he wanted, I don't know, did he want Brunson in an underwear so the thumb got a little deeper, one knuckle deep, as opposed to the shorts getting in the way or the sweats? Here's what Segs, if I saw this celebration, I got to come clean, man. I'm sorry. If you showed me this celebration but didn't mention this 25 games into the year, we're playing for a cup before Christmas time, when it's normally been on Christmas Day and it still is, that's the NBA's kind of opening slash non-opening day of the season, even though they're 30 or so many games in, because, well, that's the NBA's day. Now, NFL's jumped in a little bit, but they get 5 games all day long. If I had just seen this, and you wouldn't have said anything about, you know, the guy going one knuckle deep on Jalen Brunson, I would have said, when did the Knicks last win an NBA title? Was Clyde Frazier and Earl the Pearl Monroe and Willis Reed part of that team, and Phil Jackson and Dave DeBuscher and Bill Bradley? No. This celebration, I understand getting excited, but are we serious?
They won.
That's like hanging a banner for second place, okay?
Now,
in this case, the funny part, I don't know. Now, we all have that time where we'll Mitch Kupchak a guy, and we'll, you know, walk by and slap a guy, you know, backhand him on the ass or bat him on the back and joke and have fun. But I don't know, dude. He almost was like, you know how they say sit on this and spin? Mm-hmm. It was like, how far can I jam the – and Brunson was like, screw the celebration, dude. What in the world are you doing? Ugh. Now, you know what really got you? You know, they score and they go right here across this egg. Somebody will score and they go, if he'd have done this, then we'd have known he didn't fake the funk on a nasty dunk.
And let's remember, these two went to college together at Villanova for multiple years. They've been teammates.
I don't think Jay Wright taught that at Villanova.
Who knows what was going on at Villanova with these two? Because, I mean, comfortable just...
There's a knuckle? What the hell are you doing, man? I'm trying to get some trophy, and you're trying to turn me into spin.
What are we doing? It was AI, my ass.
Was it AI?
I don't think so.
Was AI? Man, the fact that you have to come up, was it AI? Just laugh about it and say, oh, I'm just doing guy things. Even though, well, Jalen Brunson didn't think it was a guy. He looked around like, who the heck's probably the... Who's thumbing?
Yeah.
How is that AI? Is that really AI? Let me see.
No, I don't.
Hand on the shoulder. Man, I'll tell you, AI's got to be awfully. AI's got to be awfully talented if that's the case.
Yeah,
man.
This was from
Do we have any of the comments under it was AI? I would sure like to read those. I would like to see. I got to see those.
That's That is my favorite thing to do on the internet is find.
Oh, dude, look at the comments.
AI.
Yeah.
Just look at any video you see and then just look at the comments.
The comments are the greatest thing in the world.
Insane.
Yeah. Okay, here you go. Ready? You get it was AI. Corn pop. It was all in. Okay, that's what we have a bunch of memes and videos. Allen Iverson, we've got his hands on his hips looking like, yeah. That was definitely Josh Hart, not Allen Iverson. Dude, that was a violation. Bro was caught in 8K and trying to say it was AI. It's got the laughing GIF from Ray Liotta. Then it's got Yoda in one scene, cooked I am. It's got Mr. Allen going simpatico. This post was AI. There's another one that said it. No need to hide the love for Brunson. Perhaps I am AI. Did LeBron teach you that? These are all comments on the it was AI from Josh Hart. Dude, now this the comments are Absolutely. Then there's one that's like, bruh. The comment, yeah. That's what on any of them. Now, some are relentless. Some people make these comments when somebody's going through really hard times.
Yes.
But this is funny. He's never going to beat the allegations now. Oh, that's wrong. Got the picture of 50 Cent smiling. One says, I'm just reading what they say, not me. One says, it was gay.
Hey, I mean.
I don't. Then another one's got Freaky Boy. Just read them. That was from Incognito tab number 3. Let's see. Congrats, Josh. Laughed my ass off. Sure it was. Best tweet ever. Dude, it just, the comments are priceless. I don't know what he did, and I'm not going to make that big a deal of it. It's just funny. I can tell you this. If that was the real video and AI doesn't deny it, or AI denies that it was them, Jalen Brunson wasn't too pleased with the one knuckle.
No, it was. I got one more video for you, and I saw this, and I mean,
are we gonna? How's the segue? Are we going to something funny or is it serious?
No, this is funny. This is funny. This is your guy, Gary Busey.
Oh gosh, I can already imagine.
Just, I don't know where I saw this, how it popped up on my feed, but this is the video I saw this morning. I was just like, we got to show this.
Hey, it's Gary Busey, and I have got a great Christmas present for you. Listen to this. Honk! Honk! That's what a goose sounds like when they're flying. They're letting you know they're up there. Honk! Honk! You get a bunch of geese together. Honk! 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 They're honking in the air.
That's not Gary Busey. There's no
friggin'
way.
Gary Busey.
There's no friggin' way, dude. That's Skeletor. That ain't Gary Busey. I love Gary Busey, dude. Now, he's a nut job. There ain't no doubt. His son came to my golf tournament. Jake was a fun dude, too. Loved it. There's no way that's him. That's AI, right? No.
That's Gary Busey. He's looking a little rough for a while now.
A little?
For a while now.
I mean, I love him. I love Gary Busey. I know he's a little older. I'm trying to be, but
I mean, he's wearing the Killer Clowns from Outer Space hat. He's got, it looks like a space, like,
well, this video,
and then he's like,
he's got the nice Henley, three button Henley going on.
And then he's like, I got a Christmas gift for you or something like that.
It's a three button Henley and the pleather jacket. Here's what I freaking love Gary Busey.
19 times and just tells you what a goose sounds like.
He had a semi hawk and Chewbacca mixed in. Love Gary Busey, but Segs, I'm going to tell you this, dude. He's always been, and that's, I think, why we like him in his movies, a French fry short of a Happy Meal.
Oh, right? Yeah, 100%.
Dude, this is the full kids' value menu short of a Happy Meal, man. That is, play it one more time. Let's hear Gary one more time.
Gary Busey. And I have got a great Christmas present for you. Listen to this. Honk! Honk! That's what a goose sounds like when they're flying. They're letting you know they're up there. Honk! Honk! You get a bunch of geese together.
I can't hear it. Honk! Honk!
They're honking in the air.
I still need to party with him.
That's the video.
If I don't do anything in my life, I have got to sit down and just smoke a cigar, ask him a question, let him go. I got to party with him.
He doesn't even
say bye or anything.
He's just done.
Little Skeletor. And you know what? That'll be about 20 million views on his little video, man. I'm going to tell you, man, I love him. There's a part of me that it's a little gut-wrenching for me to see him aging like this, Segs. It really is. But there's also a part of me that thinks he thinks this is funny as hell, and I love him because he's got the balls to step up and do it. Next up, Gary will be in the Transformers Skeletor movie. I God love him. We're all gonna be. I don't know if I'll be hawking when I'm 80 or whatever Gary is now, but I could tell you what, it ain't gonna stop me from loving him. But this video, I can never unsee this. So thanks for screwing up my day and my affinity for a guy who's.
He's 81. Different.
Let's just put it that way. There you go.
He's 81 years
old. And he'll live till he's like 110. Guys like that, death's afraid of them. Because they're like, damn, I can't get with that. This dude's got it. I hope he lives for 30 more years and we get 500 more of these videos. Honk!
As long as he's honking. Okay?
Honk, honk, honk! That's what happens when you get more than one.
What makes you think, like, hey, record me. I'm sitting in my front seat of my car or someone's car. Hey, record me for a second. I got a message. I got a Christmas gift for you. Listen to this. And then he honks 30 times and just tells you what a goose sounds like. And then that's it.
There's enhancers that do that to all of us, I'm sure, at some point in time in our life. But he's hawking, man. There you go. And there ain't no hawk Tua on that. That's just a hawk. Is he saying when you're hearing geese, was that geese to hawk? That's what it sounds like when a bunch of them get together, right?
Yeah.
I'm just caught up in the optics, man.
The beard's going crazy. I mean, I don't know.
Next up, Nick Nolte. Oh. Nick Nolte's still alive, right?
You know how we do this game?
Sage, pull it up there. Another one who, when his hair gets going ragged a little bit, great actor, acclaimed actor, phenomenal.
Nick Nolte is alive.
There you go. Because he was 84. In his most recent. Yeah, most recent movie I saw Nolte in, it was one with Gerard Butler, where Butler's a foreign. He has to get away. They falsely framed him. I think it was one of those White House Down or one of those movies, right? When Gerard Butler protects the president, he had to go and prove his innocence, so he went and stayed with his dad. And his dad was living out in the woods, and his dad was a conspiracy theorist, and they came after him. But that was Nolte, and he was probably 80 or so at the time that thing was filmed. So,
Is
that Nick? There you go. There you go. Look at Nick. There you go. My guy.
Not there Skeletor, but looks. Yeah,
but I can tell you what. I admire them because they've been in the public eye for so many years. And I think it always hurts us when we see guys like Clint Eastwood or Nolte or those guys get old, or Jack Nicholson, where we don't get to see him anymore as far as on. Even though Clint's still doing it. Hell. Those guys, I hold them in the highest regard. Even when they do hawk videos, I still love it. I love Busey.
I just feel like we got to end every show with a Gary Busey video. I'm sure there's more that we just don't know about.
Dude, come on. You can find it from movie clips right on down. Gary Busey's all friggin' timer. Love him.
Crazy. All right, real quick.
We won the under last night, by the way.
Yeah, we did hit the under last night. I was trying to come up with our bet of the day. There's the Staph DNA Cure Bowl with Old Dominion in South Florida. I couldn't tell you about that game at all. And then there's the 68 Ventures Bowl with 6-6 Louisiana versus 6-6 Delaware. So I was like, I don't know.
Give me the Blue Hens. We need a friggin' Blue Hens to cover.
That's not even what I'm asking tonight or today. We're doing Bulls at Cavs, which is just
you're going to disrespect Rich Gannon and Joe Flacco? Delaware friggin' Blue Hens.
Yeah, nobody cares about that game. Can you name their quarterback or their coach? I can't.
Yeah, Joe Flacco and Rich Gannon. Okay. There we go. Playing. What's some respect?
Cavs -5.5. And I'm doing this because the Bulls suck ass. So give me the Cavs all day long. Put everything you own on the Cavs.
Cavs
-5.5.
Double digits. Eight out of the last nine. I mean, it's called being on a roll. And the betting sites Bulls out there understand. If you want to win, come here.
The Bulls are like 1-15 in their last 16 games or something crazy.
Jordan ain't showing up for you, Sags. I'm sorry to tell you.
No, I don't know. I don't even watch the NBA. I don't know the last time. I caught a couple Bulls games this year. That's it. Like, I haven't even watched a full quarter. I just watched college hoops.
Why would you bore yourself to sleep like that? Okay, I have something I want to say on the way out. So we're done. Subscribe, right?
Great stuff today, to the YouTube channel at Unpaved Sean Salisbury.
Right. Love the passion. Appreciate you guys. And even when we get into a fun disagreement, and I understand why you said it, my guy, about Pete Carroll, you know, needs to retire. I'm sure Pete contemplates that every time he has to watch his Raiders play, but hopefully he'll get it fixed. We love you guys and appreciate you. I'll just say this as I go out. Honk!
Honk.
That's what geese do when they're flying alone. And when three of them go, they go, honk, honk, honk. That's what they do, Sage. New video tomorrow. Gary Busey. We need to get Busey on here.
We should. I'm gonna find a video of Gary Busey for tomorrow's show at the end. So make sure you're tuned in for that.
Do you think he follows sports closely?
No, I don't know that he follows anything closely. Geese. Well, like he probably just saw geese and just like, I got to make a video.
And he heard him. Yep. Next Tuesday, we'll get the exact time. Roy Jones Jr.
Nice.
Talk a little boxing, talk a little sports, what he's doing. I always love boxers because they're not afraid of shit.
When they just speak their mind.
You think he had any skill set, old Roy Jones Jr.? You think his skill set was any good? Yeah, we'll have him on next Tuesday right here.
I could take him. That's all I know.
So I'm going to ask him first question. Say, you know, you've been around me when I get like, we have Bernard Hopkins. What's the first thing I always ask? Do you think I could kick your ass in a fight? I ask them all that. And they all, first of all, they smile. Say, well, take your best shot. I've asked it to Radio Rodeo. They'll sit down and I go right to all of them. I've asked Evander Holyfield. Holyfield looked at me like, then he got that little smirk on his face like, you're not. Basically, and I said, I'm 6'5", 240, 230 now, 250, or maybe 290 then. What do you think? And they just smile like, son, you better do it. And then the last thing is we had old Golden Boy on, Dan and I did. That's the only one who said this. The rest of them looked at me like, well, take your best shot, but it isn't going to last long for you.
Right.
And he said, why am I losing my mind? I'm like, Golden Boy, what's boxer's name? Golden Boy Productions. Well, yeah, you do know. See, we got caught me and Gary B. You know who I'm talking about. He's a boxing promoter, boxed, was a champion, all of it. Somebody scroll. Tell me who's runs Golden Boy. Yeah, Oscar De La Hoya. Dan and I are interviewing. Dan Patrick and I are interviewing him in Bristol. He's in studio. And a little guy, and I, at that time, hell sakes, I was 275, 280. And so I looked at him and I said, and this is, I'm 6 years out of football or something, whatever it was. And I said, do you think I'd kick your ass in the ring? He goes, well, Sean, you're a lot bigger than me. He goes, in a bar fight, if you were to tackle me and get me down, yeah, I'd probably be in trouble in a regular street fight. He said, but if we get into a ring, he said, that won't last very long at all. You know, and he's right. Because even those 100, you know, if you're 120 pound or 140 pound, they're going to hit you so many times before you can even blink. Right.
He's going to hit you four times and you're like, what just happened?
Right. It doesn't matter if he's a lightweight, welterweight, super flyweight. I don't care. They, it hurts and they know what they're doing. They're so quick. So, and I do it jokingly, but I always ask every boxer, and I am going to ask Roy Jones Jr. if we got in a fight with gloves on, he'd laugh his ass. He's going to laugh.
Yeah.
But the only thing you do is you run and take a few punches before you tackle him and hope that you can get a few in before you stand back up on your feet is what you do. So we'll get Roy in next week. And I've yet to have that come to fruition where I've had to fight one of those guys. And
that's a good thing.
But I always do it when there's other people around in contained environments. So they don't say, well, Sean, you want to try your skills right now? Yeah, I'll pass. Thanks, Bernard. And he laughed, and what a great personality he was. But Roy Jones Jr. next Tuesday right here.
So, all right, we'll look forward to that. Thanks to Triple E. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to Bailey, as always, behind the scenes, making us look and sound great. And thanks to all our listeners and viewers.
Thanks to Josh Hart, Gary Busey, too. We appreciate you today.
We will have a Gary Busey video of the day tomorrow, at least one more.
Can't wait.
I don't know what it's going to be. So, all right, we'll talk to you guys at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. Talk to you tomorrow. Peace.
Unpaved, Sean Salisbury here for bringing authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.